of learning and growing as a disciple often involves mistakes or failure. And sometimes we don't fail, but we try things that don't work out quite the way we planned. We don't have the massive success that we expected. Now, a few weeks ago in the outreach committee, we tried something bold. We tried to drive through root beer floats, and we expected a huge crowd, so we bought all kinds of ice cream and root beer. And we had a few people show up. But I was out front, and I also saw a lot of people drive by. And I was disappointed that more people didn't stop by and get a free root beer float. Why did they drive by? I don't know. Quite a few people did stop by, but not as many as what we expected. And so we had quite a bit of ice cream left over and quite a bit of root beer left over that you can go in the kitchen and see it in the fridge and freezer. And today you'll benefit from some of the ice cream, which is great. But did we think it was the end of the world? Did we beat ourselves up? No. We learned from this. We grow as disciples of Christ, and we do things like that because we are disciples, and we have that freedom in Christ to try things like that and see how it goes. When we talk about discipleship, what does it mean? Backtrack two slides, if you would. What does it mean to be a disciple? Well, two things about being a disciple. A disciple is a follower, and a disciple is a learner. First of all, if we talk about discipleship as a follower of Jesus, we think about those beautiful stories in the New Testament where Jesus approached these two guys on the beach, and their names were Peter and Andrew. They were brothers. And two other brothers, their names were John and James. So there was John and James, and there was Peter and Andrew, and they were fishermen. They didn't use the rod and reel like what we do today. They used the nets, right? And so they're casting their nets into the lake, into the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they followed him, and he did the same thing with the other set of brothers. And you know what? They followed him. So discipleship is about following in the footsteps. It's about following in those big footsteps of Jesus. Where he goes, we will follow. What he does, we will do. Where he goes, we will go. What he says, we will say. We copy Jesus. We follow Jesus. Or you can think of the Good Shepherd. We're sheep. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. We follow as sheep follow the shepherd. We're followers. That's one way to think of discipleship. Another way to think of discipleship is learners. And the church has really embraced this concept, because when we do discipleship, we think of learning happening in the church. Maybe you're learning out here in the pews by listening to me, or the classrooms. We learn in Sunday school. We learn in vacation Bible school. We do adult Bible study. We have classrooms. We have education wings. The church has really embraced this concept of discipleship as learning. And it should. Learning is very important. We learn, we grow. Discipleship means being a learner. But there are different ways to learn. And some are more effective than others. We can learn by listening. And you know what? If you learn in a lecture setting, you're really only able to retain about 5% of the information. That's not very good, is it? Out of 100 things being said, maybe you remember 5. But if you do something actively, if you participate in the learning process, the retention rate goes sky high. For example, if you learn in group discussion, the retention rate is 50%. If you learn by actively engaging and participating by doing something, the retention rate is 75%. And if you teach somebody something, you retain 90% of the material. Wow! So participation really makes a big difference. Passive learners do learn things by receiving information audibly, but when you participate actively, you retain so much more information. And Jesus knew that too. He was often called rabbi, which is a Jewish word for teacher. He taught people. He sat them down and instructed them, like the Sermon on the Mount. He spoke and they listened. He was called a rabbi. Here in this passage, when the father of the young man that had a demon inside of him, when he came to Jesus, he referred to him as teacher. He referred to him as teacher. So the disciples are students. Jesus is a teacher. Jesus is an instructor. The disciples are pupils. They learn in God's classroom. One thing I didn't plan to say, but back in the day when I was doing prison ministry and I spoke with the guys that were locked up in the correctional facility, I said, right here, you're in God's classroom. God's teaching you through this experience. All you have to do is pay attention. You may think it's the end of the world, but this is just the beginning. God is teaching you through the status of corrections and this environment, the way to live and the way to thrive. And you can use this as a springboard to a new way of life, or you can sit here and feel sorry for yourself. But this correctional facility could be God's classroom and could open brand new doors for you, new possibilities for your future. Jesus taught his disciples, and we learn too, and sometimes in the process of learning, we make mistakes. Sometimes we fail. And I think about Steph Curry. And Steph Curry is a great basketball player. You can switch the slide. When we think about discipleship, sometimes we fail. You know, as good a shooter as what Steph Curry is for the Golden State Warriors, he makes 47% of his shots. And that's with a hand in his face. That's when he's being guarded. That's when the defense is trying to stop him. He makes about half his shots. But on the flip side, he misses 53% of his shots. That's quite a bit. And that's from one of the best players in basketball, a Hall of Famer for sure, an all-star. He played on the Olympic team. It's a top player. He missed half his shots. So when Steph misses half his shots, does he sit on the bench and feel sorry for himself? Does he stop shooting the basketball? No, he practices. He keeps shooting. He keeps trying. He learns from his mistakes until that ball swishes through the net with his perfect jump shot. I think the church can learn from that. Sometimes we fail. Sometimes we don't fail. Sometimes we succeed, but all the time we're learning from these things. We're learning and growing. And when Elaine May taught us in the Thriving Essentials, she showed us this method of kind of circular learning. It was called act, reflect, learn. And we did that for the outreach event, for the drive-through root beer floats. After the event, a few days later, we met over in the fellowship hall and discussed it. And we said, what went right? Some things did go right. What went wrong? How could this event be improved in the future? And what can we learn? We're disciples, we're learning. And so if something is not quite as successful as what we had hoped, we chalk it up to experience. We learn from it. We grow as disciples and we learn to do better. God helps us in that process. We act. We reflect, we learn. Now, Elaine May also said this about discipleship, and you can turn to slide 3. Yeah, where does discipleship happen? She said, churches thrive when disciples engage mission beyond the walls of the church. So, typically, we think of discipleship happening inside these four walls. And I'm not going to deny that. Otherwise, I'd probably be without a job. Discipleship does happen within these four walls. But think about the time you spend inside this church building. It might be 1 hour, It might be 2 hours. It might be 4 hours per week. That's just a small percentage of your week. Maybe you're here for the worship service. Maybe you're here for choir practice, a committee meeting, a Bible study. What's so amazing about grace? You're here for one of those things. But if you add up all the time you spend inside this church building, it's probably only 4 or 5 hours per week. The rest of the time, you're out there. We're out there. We're out there in the swamp. You're out there in the workplace. You're out there in the home environment. You're out there shopping or doing recreation, doing other things, making phone calls and so forth. Can discipleship happen out there? That's why sometimes I challenge you to take these sermons seriously. The other week, I spoke about forgiveness. And at the end of the sermon, I challenge you to think of someone that you may need to forgive. And some of you took that seriously, and you called someone up on the phone, or you talked to them face to face and said, I forgive you, or I need to ask for your forgiveness. Because we need to practice what we preach. We need to engage in discipleship outside these four walls. And we need to have the freedom to make mistakes, to not do everything perfectly. Now, a few weeks ago, we had an event at this church, and someone came into that door and said to me, Pastor Rick, I have to warn you. This church, the roof and the walls might come down. And I said, why would that happen? Is there an earthquake foreseen? Is there a hurricane or a tornado coming down the pike? And she said, no, but pretty soon for this event, some people will come through that door that haven't darkened the door of a church in a mighty long time. And because of that, perhaps the roof and the walls will come right down. And I said, well, if this church was limited to contain only perfect people, there would be nobody coming through that door, not even me, because I'm far from perfect myself. And I think that was reassuring for her, that despite the people at this event not having been to church in a mighty long time, God accepts people that are not perfect. God accepts people that fail. And sometimes when you take a risk for God, he encourages you to fail because you learn from those things and grow as a disciple of Christ. You know, outside the door of the sanctuary, there's a sign there that says, right below the exit sign, it says, you are now entering the mission field. And so disciples go outside of this place to do discipleship. Disciples make disciples. Disciples duplicate themselves. Disciples encourage others to share the hope that they have. Their love is too great to be contained, so they want to share that with others. Discipleship takes place outside the walls of this place where people need to know about Jesus. But don't be discouraged. You might tell 10 people about coming to church. Maybe one person will come. You might tell 20 people about Jesus. Maybe one person will accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Don't be discouraged. Discipleship is not about perfection. It's about learning with Jesus. Now back to the original story. Flip to the final slide if you would. Where else does discipleship happen? Not just outside this building, but inside our prayer rooms. And I want to share something with you. Do you know the beautiful stained glass that was on the original sanctuary? It's over in the back hallway there. There's a beautiful picture of the Lord is my shepherd and the sheep and a wonderful stained glass. There's a little room there. We're changing that into a prayer room. And it's a work in progress. We're working on it. And it's going to happen. But it's in process. We're not quite there yet. But this is a place that is dedicated for prayer. Why is prayer so important? Because we need to pray always. We need to pray continually. We need to never stop praying. Prayer is absolutely critical for a disciple. And it was critical for the original disciples too. When they tried to cast out that evil spirit, they couldn't do it. They weren't able to do it. They failed. So they went to a private place inside a house and they came to Jesus and they said, "Why? Why, Lord? Why? Why were we not able to do it? Why did we fail? Why couldn't we do it? Why couldn't we drive out the demon? Why couldn't we cast out the evil spirit?" And Jesus said, "All things are possible through prayer. You forgot to pray." Why is that so important? Prayer connects us to God's power. Prayer connects us to the power of God. Those things that seem impossible for us are possible for God. Those things that the disciples couldn't do, Jesus could do. Could Jesus cast out that evil spirit? Did he do it? Yes, he sure did. He did it by God's power. And Jesus was always teaching those disciples, and he's teaching us not to forget to pray always, to pray continually, to go to the prayer room, whether it's here in the church or in your home or whether it's out in nature. Don't forget to pray, because then we're tapped into God's power, a power that can change the world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say, Amen.